Maybe you're a Mac. Maybe you're a PC. Maybe you're a Lotus Notes client. Maybe you're a web browser. Maybe you're even a web browser other than Internet Explorer. No matter, if you want to edit Notes Domino rich text, Genie Eye Software's Coex Edit will let you edit, modify, save, and all your content will still be there. Whether you're a Mac or a PC or, well, you get the picture. Coex Edit from Genie Eye Software.
Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And I hope you guys and girls out there in podcast land are enjoying listening to the podcast as much as Julian and I and our guests enjoy creating it for you. So we always encourage feedback, and while we get some on the comment section, we'd appreciate some more. Right, Julian?
Oh, and in fact, you could even send us an MP3 of a comment if you have any audio comments you'd like to leave to us. And we could kind of include those in future podcasts and answer questions or respond to noises.
Yeah, we also can answer any questions you have about Italian cooking, Southern cooking, drumming, bass playing, or just about anything. So be creative. Send us an MP3. Hey, on Tuesday, June 20th, 2006, Julian and I sat down with no other than Rocky Oliver, a.k.a. Lotus Geek, who is a senior software engineer in the product development group for Lotus Software, IBM. And Julian, what'd you think of the interview with the Rockster?
Oh, I thought it went very well. I think he's one of those guys that we could have talked to for an hour or two if we wanted to. And, you know, we really kept it down to 30 minutes, and I think that was good because that seems to be about the tolerance level for a lot of people as far as listening to podcasts. But no, I think it went great. Rocky was certainly he's very comfortable speaking, and I think that ended up being a really good interview.
Yeah, and like you said, we can talk for hours with these luminary people within the community, and if you want to hear more from them, again, send us an MP3, comment on the blog, or do whatever, but we'd love to get feedback. I mean, we do get a lot of feedback, you know, but send us more, what the heck, right?
Yeah, sure. Hey, do we have a sponsor this time?
Yeah, we do have a sponsor. We have, we just heard the sponsor in the intro, so.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's one of those little hidden audio things that you throw in, you know, when I'm not listening. So I never know this. It's always a surprise when I hear the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, make me do all the hard work. You just sit back in Florida and you know, kick back by the beach there and...
Sure, drink a Mai Tai and eat a slice of key lime pie.
Woohoo! All right.
Giddy up.
Yeah, Genie Eye Software's Coex Edit. So, just one other quick note. No OpenNTF update today. No super tips or just a plain old Lotus Geek Rocky Oliver interview. And Skype
just
had,
all of us guys talking.
Yeah, Skype had given out halfway or maybe semi-halfway through the podcast, so don't mind the little surprise. So take it away, Rocky.
All right, so here we are with Rocky Oliver and Bruce Elgort. Rocky, say hi.
How you doing, guys?
Bruce, say hi.
Hey, hey, hey.
Here we all are. All right, so let's get going. Here's the first question. Rocky, okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's before we get started. All right, so now you're with IBM. You were a very successful independent consultant about a year ago and for long before that, and now suddenly you jumped ship and you jumped on the ship, perhaps. what made you want to work for IBM?
Well, I didn't start back with IBM because of like a lack of business or anything in the notes community. In fact, if anything, my business was on an upswing when I finally went back to Lotus and IBM. The main reason I did it was, as you guys probably have heard or know from the other people in the industry, when you're an independent consultant, it's extremely difficult to pick up new technologies because, you know, you can't really take the time to do it on their own, on your own, because the time you take away to do that type of thing is hours that you're not able to bill. And you don't want to charge somebody, you know, a client for learning new technology, because that's not fair to the clients. So I was really looking for a way to get exposure to all the latest and greatest things coming out of Lotus Software and be able to be paid for it while I was doing it. Another reason I decided to go back was I have 5 kids, and you know, a steady check, even if it's a little less than what I was making at the time, is better than the ups and downs that you sometimes get as you cycle through having your own business. So I decided to accept the offer made and came back to IBM. And I say I came back because, for those of you who don't know, I actually worked for Lotus Software in the word processing division on AmiPro and WordPro from 92 to 95. So 10 years later, I came back.
Full circle. And you know, with kids, you've got like, what, 15 kids, right?
Last count, you know, something like that. I don't know. They come and go. We lose them. We get more.
It is hard to keep count. I got 2 kids of my own. Woo-hoo. Sweet little darlings.
So I was going to ask, you know, Rocky, now that you're, you know, part of IBM, tell us about some of your responsibilities. You know, what portion of IBM do you work in? What kind of stuff do you work on? I mean, do you have any responsibilities?
As little as possible. No, I am. When I actually came back to IBM, I was initially on a team called the Business Transformation Team. Our target client base was the top 100 IBM customers, and our team was tasked with helping these customers understand how the workplace strategy could transform their business. They brought me in specifically to work with clients that had an installed base of Notes and Domino. So I would come in and help them understand how they could utilize, not migrate, but to integrate Notes and Domino with the newer products in the workplace portfolio. I did that for a while, and then towards the end of last year, I was tapped, along with Bob Balaban, who I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, to work on a project called, the code name back then was Tatera. It was a project designed to help come out with integration between the Notes client and SAP. It was done somewhat as a response to a project at the time known as Mendocino and is now called Microsoft Duet, which is Microsoft's version of the same thing. So Bob and I worked frantically on a demo for Lotusphere that was shown during the opening general session, and we also gave some presentations on it at Lotusphere. And then from Thanksgiving to that's when we first heard of this project, and we released the product in the middle of May. Actually, we released it a couple days early from its target date. So we did really well. Bob and I were the primary architects and developers of the project. We had other people come in and out as needed. And we were really proud of that because we actually released our product on time, under budget, with 2 people full-time, whereas Microsoft has between 100 and 200 people working for 2 years on their project. So we were kind of proud of that. And then along the way, we decided we were being borrowed from the consulting side of IBM, from ISSL, to product development, because all of the normal product developers were all working heads down on Hanover. So that's why they tapped Bob and I to do this. And so while we're working on the ongoing development effort, we talked to Kevin Cavanaugh, who is the VP of development at Lotus, about moving over to product development full-time. And as of April 1st, Bob and I both became full-time engineers for product development at Lotus Software. So that's what I'm doing now. My next thing that I'm working on is the next release of the Notes Access for SAP Solutions product, which is what Tatera became. And so we're working on the 7.02 release of that, which will include a pretty cool installation toolkit that I've developed. And then past that, I think I'm one of the things they're looking at me to work with is on the composite app team to help them understand the mindset from a Domino developer perspective and how Domino developers would like to use composite apps, integrate with them with Notes and Domino, etc. So I think that's my next project.
Wow. Yeah. So so with the SAP thing that you're doing right now, or have been doing, I guess, sounds like for the last 6 months or so, is that kind of coming to an end, or you think that's going to be going on for a while? How close are you to being really sort of done with that project?
I think this is going to be one of those projects that we thought we were going to be done with it after 702, but now there's a lot of interest in it. We've gotten a lot of good media buzz about it. We've gotten a lot of great comments from the customer base about it. So there's an interest internally to look at extending it further. Now our project is actually part of a bigger effort called Harmony, Project Harmony, which is our version, you know, that works with Notes, and plus there's a workplace version that integrates with SAP through portlets. So as we move forward and towards the Hanover model, it may be where we can work with the other side of the Harmony project and come up with some nice composite apps that integrate their portlets with our Notes interface. So, that's just me talking. That's some of the ideas I have about where we're going to go forward with this. But because of the interest in it, it looks like it may be a project that I continue to come back to occasionally to upgrade it. One of the things I am looking to do, though, is, you know, expand it so that it's not just myself and Bob that know how to work with it. So we conducted some training last week, or a couple weeks ago, with some business partners and internal IBMers to get them trained up on it, and the response from there was equally positive, so we're very excited about it. Mm-hmm.
So how big of a deal is it to really, you know, connect Notes to SAP? I mean, what have we had in the past, and what's so new and exciting about the work that you and Bob have done and the rest of the team?
Well, I think that that's probably the coolest part of this story is, you know, and that's one of the reasons why Bob and I were able to do what we were able to do in such a short time frame compared to what the Microsofties are going through to do it on their side, is that we began with a fantastic platform, Notes and Domino, and we began with a great tool that had already been battle-tested for years, which is the SAP connector. So we took those two items, we refactored the SAP connector to work on a client model instead of working on a server model like it did before. As you know, the SAP connector worked with DEX and with LEI and the different server connectivity products we have. So we refactored it so that it would work with from the client, so that the Notes client could talk directly to an SAP server without needing any kind of mediation through a Notes Domino server. And the reason we did that is, you know, we'd like it to where we'd like to create a way for Notes developers to be able to develop front ends to SAP applications in Notes and not have to do it in SAP. Most of our clients do a lot of their work and live in their Notes environment, and the feedback we've gotten is that they would love to be able to not have to start up the SAP client to do this type of work. So what kind of work goals.
You know, are people needing to do in the Notes client instead of going to SAP for?
Well, that's the areas that we're concentrating on are particular feature sets that we know are common tasks that play nicely with the Notes metaphor, such as time reporting. Everybody needs to report time. It's built into SAP. So we came up with a feature set that seamlessly integrates time reporting into the calendar entry system in Notes. We also did that for vacation leave requests. We did it for contact management so that you can actually pull contacts from the various SAP directories into your personal address book and keep them synchronized. So those are the type of things we're doing. We're looking at functionality that people already do in Notes, and they may duplicate or have a separate set of functionality in SAP that they're working with, and they'd like to work with them together.
I'm so confused. All right, so we're all back, and we got cut off. Sorry about that, everyone. So, Bruce, I'm sure that you probably inserted some funny sound effect there, some maybe a cow or
whatever you
pasture
want,
noise.
Whatever you want.
All right, so we're back now. Skype just kind of cut out on us. That damn open source software stuff, can't rely on any of that.
Hey, that's the stuff that's going to be in Same Time 7.5. Don't knock it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
wonderful,
codec. That's the codec.
Fantastic codec, that Skype. So yeah. We were talking. So something about I think the question ended up being, how big of a deal is it really to connect Lotus Notes and SAP? Is that, you know, it sounds like it's important. Honestly, to me, I don't use SAP, and, you know, maybe some of us don't quite see the point. So, Rocky, help us out there.
Well, it's not that big a deal, and that was why I think it was the biggest reason that Bob and I were able to do what we were able to do in such a short time frame compared to what the effort Microsoft's going through to put out their product. We started with a fantastic platform in Notes and Domino, and on top of that, we had the SAP connector going, which is server-side to begin with, and has been out for years and used in DEX and LEI. We took that connector and refactored it so that we could use it on the client side, so that you could have the Notes client talk directly to an SAP server. And what this does is it allows you to use Notes as an alternative front end to your SAP applications. Currently what happens is people need to bounce back and forth between their Notes client and their SAP client to do work. And a lot of times that work that they're doing is redundant. So we're giving them the ability to work with SAP in an environment that they already know and love, which is Notes, and not have to bounce over to SAP to do work.
All right. So how, I mean, you guys developed this SAP stuff, I mean, this Notes stuff that talks to SAP. Can a developer developing, say, their own application yank contacts from SAP and pull them into their application?
Sure. The code, you know, because it's Notes, it's all pretty much open source. I wrote everything in Lotus Script. I'm not using any kind of funky LSXs or anything like that. We are just simply using the connector. And we've actually, Bob's came up with a great interface to hide the complexity of the connector and talking to SAP BAPIs. And he's made this great little connector or kind of interface, this middle tier that I use to write code and be able to work with SAP. And I don't have to understand SAP at all. And so if you kind of think of what I've done in working with Bob's layer, it's the same thing that anybody could do. And all my source, you know, all of our code is open. It's simply Lotus Script, and I've commented it fairly well so that it should be pretty easy to follow for anybody who wants to, you know, go spelunking through our code and figure out how we're doing it and take that and either extend the existing applications that we've written or take that code and write their own applications based on it. One of the goals that Bob and I have long term is, you know, we don't want to be in the template creation business. I'd rather us get to a point where we have a robust framework in place that can be exploited by Notes developers to write their own custom applications.
I know some people in the template creation business, but so you guys developed this thing. You had this monster SAP on one side, Notes on the other side. How the heck did you debug it?
Debugging is interesting. Bob and, oh God, hold on. You're going to have to edit this out because I can't remember. I just drew a blank. Scott Morris. There we go. Okay, got it. So the troubleshooting is actually pretty interesting. Bob and a guy named Scott Morris, who created the SAP connector originally and is the one who did the refactoring of it for us for Notes Access for SAP Solutions, they came up with a nice robust test set so that we could troubleshoot and figure out how our stuff is interacting with SAP, any error codes that are returned, etc. And like I said, we went through some training, or we conducted some training a couple of weeks ago to show others how to take advantage of this test environment. And they liked it a lot. In fact, that's the thing that most people said they got the most value from was understanding how to work with SAP from a code level and then how to troubleshoot it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the training that we conducted is going to be recorded fairly soon and made available as webcasts. Mm-hmm. So that stuff should be available. We're also on tap to write articles for some of the various publications out there. We're going to be speaking about it at the Advisor Conference coming up in Phoenix in August, at the Vue Conference coming up in October in Las Vegas, and obviously at Lotusphere. So there should be ample opportunity out there for people to learn about what we've done and how to exploit it in their own environment. Mm-hmm.
And I think Rob Novak also recently blogged about the debugging stuff. Mm-hmm. I think he may have been somewhere. I forgot where he was in the world. And he actually had a training session with someone, and they ran through how you could really do end-to-end debugging.
Right. That was our training session. Rob was actually one of the business partners that we invited to come to it, because when we were conducting the training, we wanted to get feedback not only from IBMers but also from some select business partners to make sure that we hit on the right points, that we covered the right material, and that it would be useful for a wider BP audience to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the whole, I guess how this ties into the bigger picture, that whole Project Harmony thing. You said that's kind of on the WebSphere side as well. Does the whole Project Harmony picture go beyond SAP, or are they talking about other data connectors and things like that? Do you know?
To be honest with you, I don't know the bigger picture. I do know that there has been talk of expanding it to work with other back-end systems, other ERP systems, but I know that the concentration right now is on SAP. Mm-hmm. It seems to be hot right now. That's why Microsoft's concentrating on it. We're doing the same thing. We are finding that there is a fairly large portion of our very large of our large business size customer base that have both Notes and Domino or WebSphere / Workplace and SAP. So if we can give them an opportunity to integrate those environments together and create seamless solutions in those environments, then everybody wins. So that's what we're shooting for.
All right. And then, kind of whole other side of the world here. I know that you're... And I couldn't think of a good segue for this, so I just decided I was just going to completely skip subjects and go somewhere else. Now,
bring it on.
Lotusphere, was probably almost exactly 5 months ago now that we're talking. So 7 months from now, we're going to have another Lotusphere. When do you start planning for that? I know you do some tracks and some things like that. Is that something is that a year-round event? Is that something that the planning starts in November? When do we get to start talking about Lotusphere again?
Well, that's a great question. As you know, I was involved with Lotusphere as a business partner as well, working with Lotus on the best practices track. I was very fortunate in that they invited me to help. I guess you'd say I was an advisor on the best practices track. It was a wonderful opportunity to kind of see how things work behind the scenes. Once I came on board with IBM, the team quickly learned that I was an IBMer and immediately gave me two tracks to manage, plus I was involved in other aspects of the content for Lotusphere, and I loved it. I had a blast. But it was kind of like the fire hose treatment. I didn't realize how much the content team had filtered my involvement so that I didn't get to see the ugly side of it. So that was kind of fun. But I am the track manager for Best Practices and Jumpstart. But the nice thing is the content team, we all work together. So even though my primary responsibility was, say, Best Practice and Jumpstart, I worked with, the guy who ran AppDev. I worked with Ed Brill, who did Strategy Innovations. I worked with Pooter and Kathleen McGivney, who did Hands-On. I mean, we all worked together to make sure that our content was the best possible and didn't overlap that much. So as far as the planning goes, it's not quite year-round for me as a track manager, but I know that Kristen and Sandra, and I'm talking about Kristen Keene, who is the queen of all content at Lotusphere, and Sandra Marcus, who is the queen of all operations at Lotusphere, I know that they are involved in it pretty much year-round. So they concentrate on it, obviously, in the fall and through the show. And then what happens is, after Lotusphere, we kind of have a debrief time for about a month afterwards where we're having follow-up conference calls about what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't, good, bad, and ugly from the show, what can we make better. And then as the year progresses on, we look for, or they work for, on other opportunities to produce more content, to try out maybe some ideas we may have about the next Lotusphere. So, for instance, Kristen was involved with the DNUG event in Karlsruhe, Germany, and I was involved with that as well. IBM is currently involved with the upcoming advisor event. In fact, this is probably the The most involvement that IBM has had with an advisor event since the early days when the first Lotus DevCon started. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people know this, but the first, I think two, I know the first one, and maybe the first two, Lotus DevCons were actually co-presented with Advisor and Lotus / IBM. So for the upcoming Advisor event, we're doing some hands-on sessions to try out some ideas we have for the upcoming Lotusphere. We have a full-blown lab. We have a new track we're doing at Advisor that has not been done before. So we do try to take the things we learned at Lotusphere and maybe tweak them and try them at other shows, and then we're constantly looking to refine and extend the Lotusphere show to make it the best possible, to make it the best event that IBM puts on and one of the best technology conferences in the world, we think. Mm-hmm. So as far as the Lotusphere 2007 goes, we have talked about some stuff in general, and I think you will start to see some rumblings publicly about Lotusphere pretty soon, actually. I don't know if you noticed that last year our call for abstracts went out a lot earlier than it used to go. And we did that because we wanted more time to make sure we could refine the content to be the best possible. And it worked great. We were very, very pleased with doing it earlier and with our ability to really make that content special. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I've been to, I guess, 11 Lotuspheres now, and I think last year was one of the best ones I'd ever attended. And I don't just say that because I was involved. I really had a blast. I mean, I was sick as a dog, but it was a great show. So, and I've heard that from other people, too, that a lot of people liked that content. So this year, we've already batted around some ideas for making it even better. And they constantly listen to the evaluations we get back, both for sessions and the overall conference evaluation. Mm-hmm. And you'll be shocked at how many people on the content team are either bloggers themselves or read the blogs fairly regularly. So they're listening, and they listen to the public quite a bit about what they want to see at the next show. So mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Now, one of the things that Bruce and I have talked about just kind of between ourselves a lot, and I don't think we've ever really...
I thought that was just between
us. It was, well, just between me and you. Don't tell anyone I said this. but user groups, and we've just had some kind of casual conversations about user groups and how it seems that the whole role of user groups is changing. For IBM, you have this one just blowout conference once a year in January at Lotusphere. And then the rest of the year is, you have Advisor, you have The View, and some things like that. But it seems like this year the user groups are really starting to step up. And I know that they just had the Irish user group meeting, which was had a lot of speakers. Seemed like a really kind of a big event. We have DNUG, which happens every year in Germany, and that's a pretty big one. That's technically a user group. I know Jack Dowsman's been doing a lot of things with the DC user group. I've been seeing really kind of a lot more things about user groups recently, but they seem to be more focused on not the, we'll meet every third Wednesday of the month at Pizza Hut and we'll talk about technology, but it seems more, kind of speaker-oriented and things. I don't know if you've, kind of Rocky, you at IBM have heard more about that or been asked more about that or have been more involved with kind of the user group side of things too.
Not that much. Since I'm in product development, I don't really get a chance to interact with the bulk of the user groups, although, I did speak at the DNUG event. DNUG is kind of a special case. The DNUG conferences they do two a year, are the largest Lotus-focused technology conferences in Europe, so they're huge. So that's why it gets kind of a special attention. The Irish user group conference was a new event that Paul Mooney did and friends of his did a monumental effort to get it ready and produced and presented, and I heard it was fantastic doing it again, so they've already started talking about ways to make it bigger and better, so that's kind of cool. I do agree, though, from a general sense, that you're starting to see a resurgence in user groups. I know that user groups were pretty huge. I can remember back in the 90s, they were, during the internet boom and everything, and during Note's last kind of uptake and upswing on the pendulum, there was a lot of user group interest there. I know Atlanta, we had a huge user group, a couple hundred people, mm-hmm. And it was great. And then they died off when the internet bust happened and Notes kind of took the pendulum swung the other way. All that kind of died out. Now the pendulum's coming back. Notes is popular again. You know, people are excited about it. IBM has a great message that everybody understands finally in the Notes and Domino space. And I think that, you know, that we're seeing the user groups pick back up because the entire industry's picking back up, at least our segment of it. And now things have evolved, right? So now there is a lot more information to be learned out there, and there are a lot more people available to deliver that information. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to see user groups say, hey, could you come talk to us? Could you come, you know? And then I get asked a decent amount. I know other people in product development get asked quite a bit to speak at different user groups. And I know Ed Brill speaks constantly at user groups. So, you know, I think popular, and I don't see it going away. I see it probably that momentum continuing and expanding. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what happens also with the Lotus user group in general online that Libby and Gracia is involved with. Mm-hmm. I know that they are becoming more and more popular and are doing more and more content. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, Julian, yeah, we have talked about this, and I do see a resurgence. You know, I love reading the blogs. I love, you know, having email discussions and instant messaging discussions with people. But there's no substitute, just like Lotusphere, of seeing you guys face to face. You know, whether it's in a user group or a Lotusphere or at a DevCon, you know, I don't know. I get asked a lot to go to, you know, user group meetings as well. I was at the DC one, the Las Vegas one, the Portland one. I was at the Lotusphere Comes to You stuff. I mean, like Rocky said before, there is something other than, say, Note 7 with web services. You know, there's Same Time 7.5, there's Hanover, there's a lot of new things coming out, hence the urge for people like you and I and Rocky to sit down and talk about them face-to-face.
Exactly. So, and there's, you know, like you said, there's nothing like meeting face-to-face and, you know, shaking hands and talking and getting to know other people in the community. I mean, we can talk online all the time, but that never will take the place of the face-to-face meeting. And for me especially, Lotusphere is that time. I love Lotusphere. It, you know, like I said, I've been doing it for a long time, and every year I get just as excited as I did the year before. It hasn't gotten old yet.
Yeah, same here, and I look forward to 2007. So
I love going down there and pressing the flesh.
Yeah. All right, guys. It's Rocky, thank you for participating in episode 24 of the Taking Notes podcast. Any final words for the podcasting listeners out there, Rock?
Nope, just thanks for the opportunity to get with you guys and have this neat discussion. And for those of you who don't know, I have a blog. I have to give a plug to my blog, lotusgeek.com. So keep an eye on what's going on out there. I appreciate it.
Mr. Robichaux, any parting words for episode 24?
No, we'll do up some show notes. And so if you want to check some links on things like Rocky's blog or some of the discussion we had about the SAP connector or Project Harmony or even Lotusphere, we'll have some links for you on the Taking Notes podcast site, which is actually a blog at takingnotes.openntf.org. And no, Rocky, thanks for joining us. It was really good talking to you.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really had a good time.
All right, and thanks to Genii Software, the makers of CoexEdit, for sponsoring episode 24. Take care.